listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Welcome, friends, once again to the CMDA Matters podcast, where each week we delve into the topics that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. Some of you listening are also Christians at large who just want to know how God is making a difference in and through the lives of Christ followers who impact patient care, both in their practices and in their personal lives. On this week's episode, we catch up with an internationally known speaker and someone who'll be joining us on stage at this year's CMDA National Convention, Mr. Ryan Bomberger. Today's conversation includes the incredible story of a man who truly epitomizes a life redeemed, not just in his spiritual life, but his mortal life as well. Join us now and listen to Ryan describe his journey to become a voice of opposition against a victimhood mentality, against critical race theory, DEI, and anti-race theory. It's a fascinating discussion, so let's jump right in. Well, today on CMDA Matters, I am so thrilled that someone who's internationally known as an Emmy Award-winning creative professional, international public speaker, columnist, and he calls himself a factivist, which I'd not heard that term before, but I love it. I love it, Ryan. So Ryan Bomberger is the founder, together with his wife, Bethany, of the Radiance Foundation, is an author. I think one of his first books, Not Equal, Civil Rights Gone Wrong, and then has a couple of groundbreaking books that I've heard you talk about on some of my other favorite podcasts that I listen to, a couple of children's books that come right at the whole pronoun craziness. She is she, and he is he. So welcome to CMDA Matters, Ryan Bomberger, today. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be here with you.
So you shared, actually, at our national convention in Cincinnati in 2023, and first chance that I had a chance to sit and hear your personal story with graphics arts, and you're just gifted. And so no one leaves a session with Ryan Bomberger bored. I think mostly one quote, there are many quotes online on the website about Ryan Bomberger, but one is from Jeannie Mancini, president of March for Life, that your speech was one of the most beautiful, motivating speeches on adoption and the dignity of the human person that I have ever heard. And on that morning at the Freedom Museum there, the northernmost point of the Freedom Railroad for slaves in the Civil War, you shared with us that morning. But many people are listening right now have not heard your story. They're not familiar with it. Can you just briefly tell us who Ryan Bomberger is and why your lived experience that a lot of people say is really important these days in different contexts? Tell us about your lived experience, right, and how God brought you to this place.
It's a shame that the people who use those words most often are the ones who dismiss my lived experience. But one, I'm glad I'm alive, and then we all have lived experiences. That's what we're fighting for, actually, that everyone gets to have that. But my journey started with violence. My birth mom experienced the horror and the violence of rape. So I'm one of those exceptions cases, if you want to call it that, or the hard cases. I kind of refer to them as the heart cases, mm-hmm. because our society needs, I don't know how you say it, heart surgery, I guess, on these fringe examples that tend to be the centerpiece of people's arguments for abortion. So being conceived in rape, but adopted in love, grew up in your typical American family of 15. I have 12 siblings, 6 brothers, 6 sisters. 10 of us were adopted. And so it's really a huge motivating factor in why I do what I do, because I live in a family with so many people who have been written off and still are written off because of our storylines, because we weren't planned or because we were born in this circumstance or that circumstance. And I just thank God for 2 incredible parents, my mom and my dad, Henry and Andrea Bomberger, who loved the mess out of all of us and unleashed purpose. And today I'm married to the love of my life, Bethany Bomberger, and we have 4 kiddos, 2 of whom were also adopted. So the reason why I'm so passionate about this issue is because I was rescued from the violence of abortion. I had a courageous birth mom who chose to be stronger than her circumstances. So that's my background. So when people ask me, why do you even care? One, because I'm human, but two, because of my lived experience, because of this story. And I want to, you know, I want to be able to protect those with stories like mine. You know, the most marginalized amongst the marginalized. But it's why my wife and I started the Radiance Foundation. And it's really our passion just to illuminate that every human life, planned or unplanned, has God-given purpose.
So you mentioned the Radiance Foundation. It's clear, Ephesians 2:10. You're a poster person for Ephesians 2:10, God's masterpiece, his workmanship to bring you to this place and to have such an influential voice that people just can't, they can try to cancel, but they're not going to be able to cancel it.
Right.
I love your theme verse of the Radiance Foundation from Psalm 34:5. It's just perfect for your graphics arts. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. So what's the Radiance Foundation been all about? I mean, how have you been impacting pro-life values and advocacy over the past several years?
Well, if I can, I actually have to explain a little bit more of that verse. Psalm 34:5 is the verse that my wife got when she came back from an ultrasound. So my wife was in a situation with unplanned pregnancy. She was in her late 20s as a teacher in Philly, came back from the ultrasound appointment, never considered abortion, but the pressure on her to abort was insane. The biological father didn't want the child. Her fellow teachers said just abort it. But she read that verse, and I sought the Lord, and he relieved me of all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. They are never covered with shame. And that's why she named that baby girl Radiance, our oldest daughter, but also the reason for the name of our organization. So it's had obviously a huge impact, because not only my adoption story, but the adoption of Radiance. I was able to adopt her when she was 5. And I've been the only dad she's known since she was 1. But also the courage of a woman, my wife, who proved that she could also be stronger than her circumstances. So, man, when we started the Radiance Foundation, we knew what we wanted to do. We knew that we had these personal stories and we thought mainstream media would love us. We were wrong. They definitely did not love us. And we knew that we had stories to tell that would help empower other people to understand that their lives have purpose and that they can overcome any situation. And so as a fledgling 501c3, I remember we started a billboard campaign in Atlanta, Georgia, thinking that, okay, we're going to address two of the really, really tough topics, race and abortion, and we combine them in an Atlanta campaign, 80 billboards. And we realized right away that when you speak the truth and you don't compromise, and it's all wrapped in love, everything we do is motivated by love. But wow, the reaction was insane. I'll put it that way. So we realized that we had an incredibly effective message. And we also realized that there's too much silence in our public spaces about this issue. And so billboard campaigns were a perfect way to break that silence. And so we realized from a messaging standpoint that we had an organization that did things a little differently, a little unconventional. And as a creative director, I used to work in the ad agency world for years and years. I love creating messaging that's fearless, factual, and freeing. And God has opened up so many opportunities for us to be able to do the kind of messaging that we do, not just in ad campaigns, but in these multimedia keynotes, in our community outreaches, the books that we've created. And wow, the reaction from people from all over the world has been really remarkable, because there's such a hunger for truth.
Amen. You know, I'm remembering, Ryan, that we were together exactly 2 years ago, because it was February, and I remember specifically asking you about, at that time, we were much more enmeshed in the midst of fighting critical race theory and its impact on our society. 2 years have passed. Are we in a better place, do you think?
Oh, no. Recently watching the Super Bowl, we realized that there are forces out there that constantly want to separate us by color, and it's tragic. I mean, you think of the Super Bowl as an event that is supposed to represent America, and it wasn't really representative. The pregame show, in some cases, was, but the halftime show, certainly not. And we're still in this space where people want to constantly cry victimhood, victimhood, victimhood. The Super Bowl missed an awesome opportunity to actually show how much America has changed. I mean, you want to talk about Black History Month? Let's give Let's give this history timeline and show the incredible change in America, the incredible positive change. But critical race theory, anti-racism, DEI, all wants to pretend that we're still in the 1960s. I mean, I wrote an op-ed actually recently, just kind of countering USA Today's, one of their latest editorials. They were saying that we are living in the most anti-black era in decades. I don't, what are they talking about? But because victimhood is so potent, we're still seeing corporations, we're still seeing school, higher education, we're still seeing these massive organizations like the NFL still promote the lie that somehow victimhood is the storyline instead of victory.
You know, Ryan, just over the last year, we're aware that you have had some personal health struggles. That's something new and haven't had a chance to talk to you. And I know that you've said you've written a bunch of articles about what God is teaching you, what you've been through. Just briefly tell us about this last year and what you've learned and what God's doing in your life and in Bethany's life through this health struggle.
Last year was not my favorite year. Let me put it that way. part of my recovery, by the way, is my voice. So my voice tends to give out just a little bit, still recovering from that, but definitely can only praise God for where I am today versus where I was last January when I got, or I should say a year from January, when I got the diagnosis that I had a prostate cancer. That was, well, any cancer diagnosis for anyone is never a good day. And especially when I was in my car, I will say that this, the medical protocol for this, where you get a text message that you have a lab result and you're by yourself, it's not a great way to get news like that. So I'm sitting in my car and I look at this and I was so shocked because for years, never any indication of anything like that. And to then see this result, I was blown away to see how many of the samples had cancer. And it really challenges you because you often as Christians, we say the things, we recite the scriptures, and then when we're faced with the situation, sometimes there's a lot of crumbling that goes on. And for me, it wasn't so much that the crumbling, it was the message cancer sends to somebody. Like my immediate thought was my family, my wife, my kids. Oh my word. But then I had to get into the mindset that I know that God is bigger than any disease and that no matter what this journey was going to look like, that I was going to just cling to him. And I have an amazing wife. She put up verses all around everywhere just to remind me of God's healing power, of God's faithfulness. And even in our bathroom on the mirrors, just there's like 15 different verses just for me to constantly be surrounded by the truth of God's love for me and that he is our healer. So, you know, I had surgery in May and the summer was rough, but I will say that today I'm much better. I've actually struggled with some other health issues, and now those are kind of gone because I realized that rest is a great, not just a physical weapon, but a spiritual weapon. And who knew that walking was so healthy for you? So I'm in a much better place today, but it's such a great reminder that there are times when we feel like we go through the fire and we forget the story of Daniel, and we forget Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how God brought them through, not even singed. And so there are times that we face fires and we're like, I'm going to get consumed completely. And my wife always says this about this whole journey, you know, not burned, not consumed. And so here I am on the other side. I don't have many of the complications that come with that, that surgery. And I have been in remission for my 2 3-month checkups. I have another one coming up in 2 weeks, but I'm believing that those 3-month checkups for the next year and a half still will continue to show zero. So I'm just praising God. I'm a person who not only escaped the violence of abortion, God delivered me from that. He delivered me from having bilateral blood clots when I was hospitalized for 8 days with COVID. So it delivered me from severe depression before I got married. And here delivered me
your healer
from cancer.
Again.
And so all I can say is thank you, Jesus. That's all I can say.
Ryan, you look like the same Ryan that I met a couple of years ago. So you've been through a lot, but God has sustained you. So thanks for willing to share that intimate testimony to us today.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. Time is running out to register for the 2025 CMDA National Convention in St. Charles, Missouri on May 1st through 4th. Sponsored by Samaritan's Purse, this is the premier event for healthcare professionals, residents, students, and spouses to gather in community together. Our guest speakers include Dr. Eric McLaughlin, Ryan Bomberger, Aaron Hawley, and more. We can't wait to gather together and for God to show us how we can each be a spoke in the wheel for Christ in healthcare. So reserve your spot now. For more information and to register, visit natcon.cmda.org. We're excited to announce the newest addition to CMDA's long list of resources for our members, and it is specifically for students and residents. Called Standing Strong in Training, this new curriculum helps healthcare students and residents stand up against the cultural pressures facing Christians within healthcare today. The curriculum's 7 modules are designed for group settings, allowing attendees to solidify their foundational worldview beliefs regarding important issues, such as the beginning of life, end of life, and biblical sexuality. Each module also offers ideas of how to winsomely defend biblical values and positively interact with others in developing their worldview beliefs. For more information and to download this free resource, visit cmda.org/standingstrong. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
Let's go back to talk about some sanctity of life issues. And, you know, one of the main issues that you and your story, your Radiance Foundation and Bethany have been working on and fighting for so long. Last November, 10 abortion amendments, only 3 kind of went in the direction of protecting the preborn. What does the space look like for you and Bethany and the Radiance Foundation and other warriors? We heard that testimony. I read it from Jeannie Mancini, the March for Life. What are the opportunities right now, and what are the big obstacles in your way for protecting the preborn?
I think the biggest obstacle in our way is often just ourselves. One, feeling defeated, because when Dobbs' decision was handed down, I don't think the pro-life movement was actually really ready for what was going to follow. I mean, the other side, the pro-abortion side, I mean, they jumped on all this disinformation, these disinformation campaigns in states that, you know, had these ballot initiatives, and the pro-life movement was caught off guard. Not to mention the other side outspends us. I mean, even 20 or more to 1. Mm-hmm. So you've got that hurdle. But I love the quote from Frederick Douglass where he's talking about a man and what's right is a majority, but man and what's right in his God is a majority against the universe. And so we just have to go into these fights knowing, one, that we can already claim victory. And though the victory may not come tomorrow, it may not come next week, we're seeing victories. Look, Trump is in office again. We've been seeing these pro-life policies from an executive order standpoint, successes, the release of pro-life prisoners, if you will, those peaceful protesters who were imprisoned by Biden's DOJ. So going into a culture that I think has become even more hardened to embracing a pro-life worldview, there are still great opportunities to change hearts and minds. We saw, as you mentioned, those ballot initiatives, the vast majority of them going to enshrining the violence of abortion as a right in state after state after state. That's heartbreaking, but that's not the end of the story. And so we just have to take, you know, take some lessons from abolitionists, slavery abolitionists who never gave up that fight. I mean, you mentioned being in the underground, the Freedom Museum there in Ohio. I mean, there are so many times when it can look like from a political standpoint that things are impossible. And yet, God. And so we're encouraged because when I do these live events, you know, I used to do 60 events a year. I won't be doing that many this year. But when we do these live events, it's really remarkable, especially on college campuses, when you have students who say, thank you, I've never heard that perspective. And sometimes we just assume people know these things. They know some of the basic things. A lot of times they don't know the basic things. And sometimes people criticize me, well, why do you speak in churches? And why do you, you're just, you know, speaking to the choir. And I'm like, well, sometimes the choir doesn't know the song. So there are great opportunities to be able to inspire and inform people and to move hearts on this issue and so that we can have a different political result. But we're just encouraged because we're never going to give up. We've always been underdogs. I mean, when you're a Christian, you're always the remnant anyway. So yes. You're always fighting an uphill battle. And it's okay because we do have the power of Christ on our side. We do have God's unfailing love, unfailing faithfulness. And so even when it feels in the physical, in the natural, that it's impossible, it actually never is. Mm. So that's our motivation as a couple, as a team here at the Radiance Foundation, that we have seen things that have happened in the course of our small nonprofit's life since we started in 2009. None of it made sense. We didn't have a dime to our name, but all of a sudden did an 80 billboard campaign in Atlanta because the president of Georgia Right to Life loved the ad campaign I created. He said, we have 80 billboards. Can we use that billboard campaign for this coming winter? And sure enough, 80 billboards go up in Atlanta and we get massive news coverage from New York Times, USA Today, CNN, the list goes on and on. And yet it seemed impossible, but that's what God specializes in.
Ryan, I think the mission that God's given you is to inspire people and to do that in creative ways. And you mentioned a remnant, and you're talking to an audience that is part of that remnant, with specifically Christians in healthcare, physicians and dentists and PAs and nurse practitioners and healthcare executives, and they make up very small numbers, minorities of their various professional societies. It's just true that after Dobbs, that all of these societies began bringing councils, their leadership teams together and denouncing Dobbs and that Supreme Court decision. Like none of them even mentioned that there might be a significant minority, like the 30 or 40% of self-proclaimed, self-identified pro-life people in our country, that there might be this minority that would disagree with that, including among healthcare professionals. So with that divinely given assignment of challenging and inspiring, talk to our audience today about how Christians in healthcare who believe that life is sacred from fertilization until natural death, how would you encourage our audience today? And then maybe just a little preview of you're going to be speaking at a banquet here in early May in St. Charles, Missouri, just outside of St. Louis. Maybe just a little preview of how you're going to stick it to us and get off. Get off your backside, guys, Christians in healthcare, and protect life.
Well, there, thankfully, have been many people in that significant minority who have helped shift the medical field. I mean, you look at some historical examples of atrocities committed in the field of medicine, the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. I mean, you've got the supercoil experiment, which included Kermit Gosnell, for instance. There's just example after example of individuals being hurt, the eugenics boards who forcibly sterilized, 60,000 plus women. I mean, thankfully, there are individuals who would stand up and say, this isn't right. I mean, you got whistleblowers today, the ones who are calling out the gender mutilating industry. And thank God for those individuals who have helped shift what's going on, who've helped expose what's going on. And though it's hard to be in medical associations who continually deny the medical and embrace the political instead, there can be these shifts, and it requires people to actually be courageous enough to be that person who serves as that moral obstacle in the way. You know, the theme being, you know, spoke in the wheel. I know that when we started as a little organization, I've always been an instigator my whole life. Unfortunately, younger years, perhaps not for the good, but being that instigator and feeling this intense sort of sense that things had to be fair and things had to be just, I was always designing, writing something that was challenging the status quo. And that's what we need to do, because it's those moments when people are courageous enough to do that, that we see a shift. And with the Radiance Foundation, I mean, we literally had Planned Parenthood when we did our first billboard campaign and called them out. They ended up creating a 20-minute documentary calling us out. They held a bloggers and journalists conference in their headquarters in New York City to figure out how to counter our campaign. Our initial campaign was called TooManyAborted.com, which highlighted the eugenics, the history of eugenics of Planned Parenthood and its present racism, and also talked about their corruption. And so, and you know, how more black babies are aborted than born alive. They were threatened by us. And so I just want to encourage people who feel like,
I'm outnumbered. We're going to be outnumbered all the time. The important thing is, are you going to be counted? Do you want to be counted in that small remnant that says, you know what, this isn't okay. I love people enough to be able to speak the truth and whatever may happen. And sometimes, yes, it's a risk to your reputation. But wow, the freedom that comes from people who are courageous. And so, you know, it felt like a badge of honor to be denounced by Planned Parenthood. We've been denounced by the ACLU. We've been denounced by George Soros's Media Matters. But I just keep thinking back to in scripture where Jesus says, look, if the world hates you, guess what? They hated me first. And we just have to kind of keep that in mind because we often have this sort of sense like, I have to be liked by everyone. I need to be loved by everyone. As I mentioned earlier, I thought I was going to be loved by all these media outlets. I had this awesome story, this cute story of adoption and, you know, an incredibly courageous birth mom and adoptive parents who loved, you know, kids of every different background and different colors. I was wrong. I'm still hated to this day, but I don't care because I love people enough. I love God enough to know that my purpose in life is to be able to, like 1 Corinthians 13:6, it says, love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. I want to rejoice in bringing the truth in the small ways that I can through the Radiance Foundation. And I know that those in the medical field who feel outnumbered by associations that don't rejoice in the truth, they feel outnumbered, but wow, the change that you can bring, even as small as it may seem to you, it's significant in the eternal sense.
I'm thinking of those books that I'm seeing behind you on the wall, and She Is She and He Is He. Is there a place for those books in some of our pediatricians' offices or family practice doctors' offices that would be helpful as a testimony to the truth?
Absolutely. In fact, it's really fun when we get physicians who tell us, you know, I'm a doctor, I'm putting these in my office. I love that because you got waiting time. What better material than to reaffirm the beauty of what it means to be a girl and how awesome it is to be a guy. You know, and our books highlight the things that are common sense, not to mention medically accurate. So these are great tools for people to be able to not only, you know, enjoy the rhyme, enjoy the adorable illustrations and reflections of people who look like all of us, you know, every beautiful hue of skin. There are also sections that say, what does the Bible say? What does science say? Because science is constantly reaffirming what scripture says, and they're great tools. I mean, there are all kinds of magazines inside offices today that are filled with all kinds of offensive material, but how about some truthful material? I think it's great.
Did Bethany write those and you illustrate them, or was it a couple project, or how did those come about?
Yes, we do a lot of our projects together. Bethany and I both wrote the book, and I did not illustrate. We have an awesome, awesome illustrator. His name is Ed Kaler. We love Ed Kaler. He loves the Lord. His illustrations are so spot on. I've never worked with somebody who just gets it. We have so few revisions because he just gets it. He captures the heart of what we're trying to get across in like, it's so easy. That's why we love working with him with all of our books, Pro-Life Kids, He Is He, She Is She, and we have a new upcoming book about adoption that will be released later this year. But yeah, it's just this amazing collaborative thing between my wife and I and working with Ed Kaler and just God's guidance in all of it. And the reaction to these books has been amazing. I mean, sure, we get a little bit of hate from the people who I can't even say some of the words that have been thrown at us because of these books, but a lot of love from people who are saying, thank you. I just needed a tool. I didn't know how to say it. I didn't know how to word it. And you guys have expressed exactly what my heart felt, but didn't know how to articulate. And so the reaction around the world, I mean, we get from Dubai to New Zealand to Japan to, you know, Nigeria, all across Europe, we get these, all across South America. In fact, we're trying to work on getting multiple languages. It's a massive project for us because we're a small team and we do a lot of other things. But wow, that going back to that whole thing, people are so hungry for the truth. And what a great way to communicate that truth in children's books.
So Saturday evening, May 3rd, you're going to be our banquet speaker. A theme for that evening for you and what your focus is going to be?
Well, my focus is going to be encouragement, of course, and hope, because even in, I mean, politics come and go, and sometimes our feelings about what's possible are always swayed by the political landscape. And so I'm really going to be speaking into more of the eternal sort of things, because when we fixate on the natural, it's easy for that whole self-defeatism. So I just want to speak hope into situations. I'm going to use some stories about spokes in the wheel, use them actually in my own family's life. My parents, I mean, how many times did naysayers say, how are you going to adopt someone who doesn't look like you? How are you going to bring in this disabled child? Isn't that going to hurt your family? So I'm going to talk about, you know, the other side always loves the word disruptive. Well, my parents were disruptive because there were so many people who in their lives, even some family members who were saying, well, how can you do this? This isn't the right thing to do. But yet my parents knew the right thing to do was exactly what they were called to do. And so it'll just be some stories that really will help people understand why I am the way that I am today and who I am because of parents who actually didn't listen to the naysayers. And thank heaven that they were spokes in the wheel. And then our own experience, Bethany and I individually, and then as a married couple, and even launching the Radiance Foundation at great expense to us. And I'll get into some of those situations like being sued in federal court. And yet, knowing through that, I think when you understand what you're called to do and who's calling you to do it, it's a lot harder to let go of that calling, no matter how hard the obstacles are, no matter how hard the journey is. And our journey has been pretty hard in moments, but I will say the victories make it all worthwhile. So I'm just going to speak some hope into people attending the conference. And my wish is that they walk away from this more empowered than ever, more motivated than ever to be able to engage in their spheres of influence to bring about change. And some of that change has to happen first and initially in our own hearts. And heaven knows we all could use, you know, heavy doses
Amen.
Of hope.
Amen.
So.
Well, the CMBA motto for a number of years under my predecessor and hero, Dr. David Stevens, motto was transform doctors, transforming the world. And one of the key scriptures that supported that motto, Ryan, was Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians. And it is just so perfect to go with your verse from the Psalms and the verse that Bethany had about radiant faces. Paul said in chapter 3, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, that radiance which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And especially with our experience together with you at the Freedom Museum, God's Spirit is abiding in and leading you and Bethany at the Radiance Foundation. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your testimony, even through physical trials this last year. And I'm very excited. And listeners, I hope if you're not signed up for the National Convention, you'll do that today. And come join us in St. Charles, Missouri to hear Ryan Bomberger share with us. And it'll be perfect. So glad you're going to focus on our theme, Spoke in the Wheel, from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. God bless you, Ryan. Thanks for joining us today on CMBA Matters.
Thanks. God bless.
That difficult life journey that Ryan just described is what has shaped his existence into being a voice for Christ in our world today, driving a spoke into the wheels of injustice whenever and wherever he can. And that is exactly what our 2025 CMDA National Convention this year is all about. We'll learn and grow in our understanding of what it means to be a force for change and to help set free the captives and those who are oppressed. Won't you join us May 1st through the 4th in St. Charles, Missouri? Over 1,000 healthcare professionals from all over the country will gather to uphold truth and to enjoy heartfelt community together. You'll see and hear from Ryan Bomberger at our special Saturday evening plenary session and be inspired, I believe, by his graphic media presentation. So just register today by going to natcon.cmda.org. Were you inspired by Ryan's commitment to the pro-life cause. After hearing Ryan's testimony regarding his experience as an abortion survivor and his advocacy for the pro-life movement, we encourage you to explore additional resources on this issue at cmda.org/abortion. You'll find articles and stories, blogs, news releases, and CMDA's position statements surrounding this critical issue. Next week, I will be joined by a German surgeon, Dr. Klaus-Dieter John, who came probably the longest distance ever from the country of Peru to be interviewed by me right here in our Bristol, Tennessee studio as he was on his way back to his home country of Germany. So maybe just a little stopover on his way back to Europe. He and his wife, Martina, a pediatrician, have been used by God to build, from basically nothing, an incredible mission hospital facility at the base of the Andes Mountains in Peru. So y'all come back now, you hear? Ryan Bomberger reminded us from Psalm 34, verse 5, that when we look to God, we are radiant and our faces are never covered with shame. What a great promise as we are bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world. That's what matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. May you recognize this week, dear friends, that the Lord is with you and that He is for you, and may His face shine upon you. We'll see you next week, God willing.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.